Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Hankook DynaPro AT2 Extreme. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code JOHN, that's code J-O-H-N, for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast. That would be the show, and that would also be me. Hopefully everyone's having a good day. We know the Detroit Lions are, because they give an extension to Jared Goff for a lot of money. He has resurrected his career and helped resurrect the franchise, who now has sold out their season tickets for the second straight year. Amazing what winning will do for your business in the field of sports. We know Tom Brady's first game that he will do on television. Shocker, it's the Cowboys. Something on the Jets. And I had to give some comments on Chip Kelly, because DeSean Jackson and Shady McCoy did a full podcast on basically why he's one of the biggest D-bags of all time. And I loved it. I watched the whole thing. I was laughing. Shady was funny, man. I recommend it. So I'll give a couple comments there, as well as the mailbag at John Middlecoff. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs. Do it every show. We got a lot of content coming. I will have a full golf podcast out Wednesday. I'm going to have a lot of money on this little old golf tournament called the PGA Championship, second major of the year. So we will be talking gambling on that show for sure. Colin and I will react to the schedule release on Wednesday night. So we've got a lot going on. Plus, I'm a podcast. What else am I going to do besides podcast? So content is not stopping. We got a couple interviews we're recording this week for the next couple weeks. And we're off and running. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you listen on Colin's feed, everything's up on YouTube as well. If you like watching it that way, the 3 and Out channel is typing my name. Other than that, Let's buckle up, baby, because it's the middle of May and life's good. But before we talk some football, I got to tell you about my friends, my partners, and the official ticketing app of this podcast, Game Time. And when the schedule comes out, if you're a fan of a team and you live in a different city and you want to go see them, if your baseball team is coming to town, you live in a different city, if you want to go see a concert, a comedy show, I got you covered. Just download the Game Time app because they have access to everything. College, pro, you name it, they got you covered. I have been using them consistently now for, it feels like going on 2 years. I cannot recommend them enough. So any event you want to go to, just download that app, search, and get in on it. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code John, J-O-H-N, for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code J-O-H-N, John, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. You know what's funny about certain players is not everyone is on the same trajectory, right? Some guys pop immediately. Some guys struggle and then get right the right coach and then have success. Some guys basically live in obscurity for years and resurrect their career later. Not everyone is on the same path. No different than life, right? We all know people that have immediate success in whatever industry that they jump in. Some guys that screw around in their 20s, all of a sudden in their 30s, they start having financial success. None of us are alike. Whether you're an athlete, whether you're a salesman, I don't care what you do. We all have different paths that we take. And I think Jared Goff is a good example because when he was drafted number one, he played on a Cal team that was terrible. I mean, was god awful. His first year, they went 1-11. He was supposed to go play for Jeff Tedford. Sonny Dykes came in, and it was just a bad fit. Sonny's a good guy and proven to be a good coach, but he did not fit in Berkeley, his style, and it was a disaster. And then Jared Goff's rookie year was as bad as it gets. You could argue it was worse than Bryce Young's from an eye test standpoint. It was like, this guy might not be an NFL player. Then Sean McVay comes in and changes the game. And he proves immediately he's not only a really good quarterback, but like, if your team's good, you can win with him in the playoffs. You can win with Jared Goff in the playoffs. Something we do not know about guys like Tua. Something we don't know about guys like Dak Prescott has not proven that. Kirk Cousins definitely has not proven that. This is a guy, when the lights are the brightest, you can win with. Again, he's not going to carry your team in the sense of like a Josh Allen, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. But no one with a brain compares him to those guys. But of the non-top five or six guys, if he's on the right team, he can arguably be the best of the next group. And he's kind of proven that now. Twice. On two different teams. With the Rams and the Lions. So, I said for a while that I would love to get him on the $30, $35 million a year deal. But it's kind of stupid to talk like that. Why? Because no one gets those type contracts anymore. You're either a highly paid guy or you're nothing. And it's kind of bared out, right? Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles and got $45 million a year. Well, Jared Goff goes, I'm better than him. Check my numbers. Check my stats. Check my resume in January. It's not really a conversation. So we got $170 million guaranteed. Now, the good thing is when you sign a guy like Jared Goff, there's no guessing. He's proven to you what he is. He's been doing this now at a pretty high level. Now, he dipped that last year with the Rams, but for the most part, he has been a pretty consistent quarterback for a long period of time. But he is not some guy, if he was a stock, that could 10X. Let's face it, when the Eagles extended Jalen Hurts, there was still a lot of unknown. He had played at a high level for one season. And hell, going back to when he was drafted, there were a lot of question marks with Jalen Hurts. And last year, you saw a little bit of an up and down, right? The coordinator position was off. It was weird. He wasn't bad, but he was nowhere near the guy before. And you just go, well, is the Jalen Hurts we saw in 2022, is that the guy? Or is this more of the up and down version that we saw in 23? I still don't know. I'm not out on him, but I wouldn't bet my 401k that he's just going to be a superstar for the next 5 years. Where Jared Goff, like, we know he's not a superstar, but we know exactly what he is. Think about the Ford family. Do you know what the number one selling truck in America has been for 47 years? The F-150. My dad drove one my entire life. Basically, everyone he worked with, he was in farming, drove one. My brother has now driven one for as long as he's worked in the industry. Most people do in that business. And he's not a Ferrari. He's not a Porsche or Mercedes. But he's a pretty consistent player. And he's a guy that you know you can win with. And what's the other thing that we always talk about with quarterbacks? The intangibles. Team loves him. He's a good leader. Here's another thing that I don't think we give him enough credit for. And this goes back to college. He's pretty mentally tough. He's been through some shit. College. His team sucked. Was not good. The pros, his rookie year, awful. By the end of his time with the Rams, his coach was openly, publicly talking about how he wasn't good enough. We can't play with this guy. If memory serves me correct, he got benched going into a playoff game. And if it wasn't for, I forget the quarter, was it Heineke? Whoever the quarterback was, Wofford broke his thumb or got hurt. Maybe Jared had an injured thumb and had to come in. Could be off of my timeline. It's been a while. But Sean McVay crushed him and has since apologized. Like, I was wrong for the way I handled it. And then he got to Detroit, Dan Campbell's first year, and it was really ugly. And by the end of his second year, he's outplaying Aaron Rodgers on the road in Green Bay in the cold. And last year, he was fucking fantastic. Obviously, he had a couple bad games, but on the aggregate, was a high-end player. Was easily one of the best players in the NFC at that position. Now, the bar is not as high in the NFC as the AFC, right? There's no Mahomes, there's no Lamar, there's no Burrow, there's no Josh Allen, no Herbert. Like, the best quarterbacks in the NFC currently are like Purdy, Dak, Cousins, Goff, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts. Like, that's the group. And you know that your guy can compete with those guys because we've seen it. So, is this a little rich? Sure. Do the Lions feel pretty good about it? I think they do. And I also think we have to give the front office credit for there were two trades on the table. The 49ers and the Rams. They knew both teams were going to be pretty good. And they were offering multiple ones. One team had Jimmy Garoppolo, and the other team had Jared Goff. And Brad Holmes, coming from the Rams, I think easily accepted the Jared Goff trade. Now, do I believe that they thought that it would turn out this way? That within 3 years, they would be this good and have no hesitation of giving Jared Goff over $50 million a year? I don't. But they did bet on the right quarterback because Jared Goff, compared to Jimmy Garoppolo, it ain't even close. So the Lions deserve a lot of credit because pivoting off a talent like Matt Stafford, who immediately wins a Super Bowl, is not easy. You usually lose. But you could argue that the Lions won and the Rams won too. It's truly one of the great win-win trades of big, big trades in recent memories. The Lions used that draft capital to improve their team. The Rams won a Super Bowl with Stafford. A couple years later, they're right back in the playoffs. And hell, they played each other, which was one of the better games this year in January. So a lot of credit to the Lions. This is never going to be the sexiest move. He's not the sexiest player, but he's just good. And because their team is this good currently for the next couple years, you can win at a high level with Jared Goff. Now, over time with the cap, it could become a little more complicated, but that's not how NFL teams think. They live in the now. And they were just right there. And let's face it, they should have won the NFC Championship game. They had a 24-3 lead at the end of the first half. Can't lose that game. But a big reason they were in that position was Goff in the offense. And it feels like all these players on that offensive unit, you keep your offensive coordinator. Lions got a really good thing going. They sold out their season tickets for the second year in a row. And one thing I learned when I was in radio, like growing up a kid in Northern California, I just like the Giants and the 49ers. because the majority of people did. The 49ers had been winning Super Bowls when I was really young and up through being a kid and a teenager. The San Francisco Giants signed Barry Bonds. They built this stadium and became a massive, massive brand. And they gained a lot of bandwagon fans over that time. And when I say bandwagon fans, I mean people that just casually follow. Why? Because people casually follow winners. And when I was on local radio, we had the A's and the Raiders. And from a rating standpoint, if you put on an A's game, and these A's teams were good. This is not like this last 4 or 5 years of that franchise. This is like in one of the peak Billy Bean crews, competing to win 90, 95 games and heading into the playoffs as a team to be reckoned with. And they would 4 to 5X the listenership on the Giants station than the A's. And they were both just really good teams. Why? Because one team had dramatically more fans. And whenever anyone uses, well, they just got a lot of bandwagon fans, I'd always say, welcome to the business. That's the point of this whole thing. I always noticed this when I did Raiders and Niner games or go to them, you know, in the early 2010s, is if they play the Packers or the Steelers, how many of their fans would show up? Think about the Steelers. They've been winning consistently, just had winning teams. Where when the season starts, you just say, we're going to be competitive and we're going to have a chance to not only make the playoffs, but to win in the playoffs. Since the early 1970s, if I was born a Packer fan, my entire life would have been watching winning teams. From the early 90s with Favre up until last year and what looks like moving forward. The more you win, the more people care. It's why the biggest brands not in football are what? The Yankees, the Lakers. The Warriors are a good example. I would say for the first 20, 25 years of my life, they were mainly a dog shit brand. They didn't rate. People didn't watch them on television. I'm talking locally. They didn't sniff national games. They did not matter. Well, the last 10 years, you could argue, they have been the biggest brand in the NBA. Why do you think that is? This is not a complicated formula. The Cowboys are somewhat of an outlier. They have not been to a conference championship in 25 years. And they, we all agree, have the largest fan base in the NFL. When you put them on TV and they are good, the most people watch. It's not a coincidence that Tom Brady's first game, official game as a broadcaster, will be a Cowboy game. Fox did that on purpose because they know he will get the biggest audience with that team. There are other teams that move the needle. The 49ers are a massive brand. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, massive brand. The Chiefs, massive brand. There is nothing like the Cowboys. Why is that? Well, because in the 1970s, they dominated. And then in the 90s, a separate generation got to watch them win 3 championships in basically 4.5 years. So when I see the Detroit Lions selling out again, a lot of people were not watching every snap when they were struggling to win a couple games over the last 20 years. And their teams were basically consistently bad. I'm not saying people don't watch that. And I'm not saying that people that do watch that are dumb. I've watched a lot of bad teams as well over the years. We're actually the minority. We used to call them P1s in the radio business. It's kind of like the podcast business. The more casual people I can resonate with, the more successful I'll be doing this. It's why I don't get that granular with football in terms of breaking down play by play or teams that don't matter, because people will turn off the podcast. This isn't a very complicated strategy. So the Detroit Lions, they have 2 things going for them. One, there's legit optimism and hope moving forward. And 2, there's like substance behind it. They're just good. So when you ever hear that term, you want more bandwagon fans rooting for whatever team you root for. Why? That means your team is doing something right. That means you are good. That means you matter. Can you imagine how many quote-unquote bandwagon fans Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have brought
the Kansas City Chiefs.
How many kids that never in a million years would have had a Chief jersey now have a Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce jersey? All over America. One of the downfalls I've thought of the NBA was when I was a kid, I had an Orlando Magic pair of shorts. I had multiple Chicago Bulls paraphernalia. Why? Shaq and Michael Jordan. Baseball was huge nationally in the early 90s. I knew all these players on all these different teams. I could name lineups from the Baltimore Orioles, the Texas Rangers, Seattle Mariners. Can't do that anymore. But we do that with the NFL, especially with the good teams. So props to the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell, and Brad Holmes for turning that thing around and just creating a bandwagon, because that means good things are happening.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Tom Brady. Fox set him up to succeed. And rightfully so. My opinion on Tom Brady would be, if I had to lean he's going to be good or bad, I would lean good, but I wouldn't bet a lot of money on it. I really am more indifferent. I'm just not going to bet against a guy with a work ethic who resonates with people. The guy we saw at the roast was obviously much looser. I do think that version of Tom, I don't mean the swearing and the jokes. I just mean when Tom Brady is locker room Tom Brady, he would resonate with the majority of America, because he always resonated for 25 years with his locker room. And if you can do that, you can resonate with people on the couch. The problem is we've seen Tom Brady in more of a corporate scenario, and he feels a little stiffer. So I'm fascinated to see what guy we're going to see. If he can figure out a way to bring out that version, obviously he's got to be clean on national television, Tom will be fine, because he knows football and he can be a guy's guy. But Fox is all in on this guy. And to put him on week one, Cowboys at Browns, they know what they're doing. They're setting him up to success. Now, they're also setting him up. A lot of people are going to be watching that game. If I had to guess, 25, 30 million people. They're coming out the gates swinging. So the pressure on Tom Brady, obviously he's used to it as a player, but from a broadcasting standpoint, it's going to be interesting. In a weird way, Tony Romo got to fly under the radar. As crazy as that sounds, because our expectations, he was replacing Phil Simms, who most people thought was somewhat over the hill and kind of boring.
and Tony was fresh and he was goofy and he was calling out plays. And it was just, he took everyone by storm. Well, that's not how people are coming into Tom Brady. They're coming in with just enormous expectations. I, like you, will have that audio up. Fascinated to hear what he's got to say. And it'll be fascinating because there's going to be no room for error early on in terms of the judgment. Now, ultimately, Fox just cares how many people watch, and I think a lot of people are going to watch. But in a weird way, off the field, you could argue Tom Brady's one of the more fascinating storylines coming into the season. What's he going to be like on TV? Because we've seen a lot of famous guys over the years go on television and suck. It is a completely different medium. You have to be loose when the red light goes. But you also got to be informative. You also got to just know when to talk, know when not to. It's just difficult. It is not easy. What I do compared to that is dramatic. I just talk. I can say whatever I want. You can't do that there. You can't swear. Tom clearly swears a lot. You can't just talk forever. You have to be in and out. You got a producer in your ear. And I know he's been practicing nonstop. Collins mentioned on his podcast. It's different when the play's going. So it's going to be fun. And a lot of people are going to watch that first game. I think the Jets are just consistently one of the most dysfunctional organizations in all of sports. And I don't think it's because of coaches or general managers. I'm not acting like Joe Douglas is Bill Polian. And Robert Saleh is, you know, Belichick. But you could argue it's very, very difficult in that scenario when you work for that owner to function at a high level. Because I think he's terrible. And I've heard this countless times from people in the league. Like, you don't quite understand what this guy has to deal with Woody Johnson. I've been told by a couple people, if you remember when Joe Douglas was first hired, it took a while for the deal to get done. And I know people were in Joe Douglas's ear under no circumstance because he kind of had him by the balls. Remember, it was a little late. If you're going to sign with the New York Jets to be the general manager, you better get every penny possible because people go there to fail because of Woody Johnson. He is very, very difficult to work with. He's always in your shit. He is not one of those owners that are like, hey, we hire you, you just cook. He comes with ideas. He comes with, we're doing this. So when I read that the Jets look to hire someone over Nathaniel Hackett, my first reaction was, that feels like a Woody Johnson idea. Because no coach or GM, if you have an offensive coordinator, whether he's good or bad, would keep that guy and then hire someone over him. You would just fire that guy and then hire a new offensive coordinator. And I think one big issue for the Jets that no matter what players they have on the team, the hardest thing to overcome is Woody. And I think we have immediately seen that since Woody came back from wherever the hell he was. It's tough. It's a difficult individual to have around because we've seen the best owners support you with their checkbook and stay out of your way. It doesn't mean you're going to get everything right. It doesn't mean that, you know, your coach and your general manager are the biggest geniuses in the league. But for you to have a chance at success, you have to let them do their job. It's the reason you hired them. It's the reason you pay both guys millions of dollars. And that's just not what the Jets do. They always have consistently have dumb ideas. And I think a lot of those dumb ideas stem from the owner. DeSean Jackson and Shady McCoy. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't one of my favorite videos that I've ever watched. They basically did an hour podcast, the two of them, talking non-stop shit about Chip Kelly. And they called several people throughout the podcast, Jason Peters, Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Graham, on their phone and put it on the mic to ask them what they thought of Chip Kelly. And it was ugly. And I would recommend if you want to just be entertained and laugh a little bit, to turn it on. And I can't speak for DeSean as much, but a lot of dinners when I worked for the Eagles during the season, me and the scouts would have, and Celek and Shady were there a lot. I would say there wasn't anyone that didn't get along with LeSean McCoy. He's one of the more easygoing guys to like. He's just kind of a magnetic personality, and you can tell in this video, he's just an awesome guy to have in your locker room. and they both despised Chip Kelly. Now, obviously, I got fired. Howie technically called me, but I got into an argument in a draft meeting with Chip Kelly over Matt Barkley. And in my short interactions with him, it was very short. Like, I'd be lying if I have a great feel for him as a person. My first reaction, because I felt like he forced me out, I don't like him, but it's not because I dealt with him a lot personally. I know a lot of people, though, that spent the next several years around Chip Kelly, and I got to say that I second, third, and stamp everything those guys say. Every story I ever heard about the guy was he was a complete douchebag. And one of the themes of their podcast, and this other players had said this as well, is he really struggled to talk with the black guys on the team. Listen, I knew a lot of scouts that were white guys that thought the same thing. Like, I think he really struggles to interact with people. And I think he, from everyone I've ever met, think he's a complete fraud. And they hammered this. He would say one thing to your face and do something else behind your back. I've always thought this, having firsthand knowledge of people I'm very close with in the league. He's just a legitimately bad guy. I just don't think he's a good person. And I've been around good people in the sport of football. I worked for 2 years around Pat Hill. High quality, high character guy. Obviously the same thing with Andy Reid. But there were a lot of guys on that staff, just good people. Doug Peterson, Sean McDermott. I mean, these guys went on. Todd Bowles, just nice guys. Just easy to deal with. Chip Kelly was not that guy. And I think everything they said, I said this forever as growing up a UCLA fan. I couldn't believe, one, that they hired him. I think he has been one of the biggest con artists in the sport of football since the Eagles thing ended. He conned the Niners out of a job. He conned UCLA out of a job. And now he's at Ohio State, mainly because he got Ryan Day's career started in the NFL when he hired him with the Eagles. I think both guys are very, very lucky that Jim Harbaugh left Michigan and went to the Chargers. Because I think if Jim Harbaugh just would have been like, you know what, I'm good on the NFL, I'm just going to stay at Michigan and build a bully, I think he would have ended them. Would have. Now, Ohio State might end up beating him now. Sharon Moore, it's going to be, you know, a drop-off, obviously, with Harbaugh gone. But I just think Chip Kelly's a bad guy. And I think they hammered that home. No one trusts him. I just think he's one of the bigger frauds in the business. And whatever he did revolutionary, which he did back in Oregon, it's 2024. No one gives a shit. The way he treats people. I've just never heard a good thing over the last 10 years of anyone that works for him. And listen, it's football. Tensions are high. People have bad moments. Welcome to life. But the way that he consistently acted toward people, it's consistently the most negative thing that I hear in the sport relative to any other person. And I'm not one just to say this. Like Brandon Staley, I ripped as a coach. I don't know him as a guy. Like it has nothing personal. Like, this is personal with Chip Kelly, the way he treats people. So I'm glad those guys did it, because I've never seen anything like that. Think how long football has been going. Think how many players that are out of the league could do that to different coaches. But they don't, because it'd be basically impossible. It'd be really, really hard. I mean, they easily went for an hour doing that and getting other guys. And it's not just like Jeremy Maclin, super high character, normal, well-liked guy. Brandon Graham, I mean, is one of the more famous Eagles of the last decade. Jason Peters, a little bit of a wild card in his early days. But the best player on the team has been playing in the NFL still. I think he was playing last year. It's like 42 years old. Everyone likes the guy. They fucking couldn't stand him. Because you know what they knew? And this is where I know the race component comes in, but I truly don't believe it's about that. Because if one of his players, if one of his scouts was on fire in his front yard, I don't believe Chip Kelly would piss on him to put him out. I truly believe that to my core. And I think he's kind of good working some of these media guys. Listen, I know Colin likes him. Joel Klatt always stands by him. I think he's a complete con artist. So I'm glad that they put that out. Complete fraud. And I wish Harbaugh would have stayed one more year so he could kick the shit out of those two guys. Tangent Tuesday, just two things. One, I'd be lying. I'm not some huge hockey guy. I don't watch regular season hockey. I don't even really know, besides like Conor McGregor, most of the good players in the NHL. I have watched a decent amount of playoff hockey. It is fantastic. It is like the UFC meets a puck and an ice rink. The violence, the physicality, the intensity. It is just a fantastic sport. The level of give a shit from every single person, coach and player, you're on the edge of your seat. I mean, I basically watched all the Edmonton-Vancouver game last night. I don't have money on these. I have no money on these. And I was like, this is a fantastic product. And I get, relative to the other major team sports, it's not as big in America. But if you just like competition and you like physicality and violence and just intensity, playoff hockey is just an awesome sport to watch. And last but not least, one thing I just can't quite wrap my head around, and I see this nonstop, is former NBA players and people on TV talking shit about Nikola Jokic. That'd be the equivalent of like someone being like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's just, I don't see it. I don't quite understand the hype. If you just have been watching basketball for 5 years and you watched two games of this guy, you're like, yeah, this is one of the best players I've ever seen. I've been watching the NBA for 30 years. He's easily one of the most dominant players I've ever seen. And good guy, not some self-promoter, champion, MVP. I don't get it. I truly don't get it. Is it jealousy? Is it because he can't jump? I don't understand it. If you watch a Jokic game, consistently he's putting up like 38, 10, and 15. He is kicking the shit out of whoever he is playing. Like, it's not even debatable how good the guy is. And it's not like he's some overhyped player that always gets bounced in the first round. He literally won the championship last year. And after these two games, probably going to win the championship again this year. But even if he doesn't, like, he is clearly a high-level championship, incredible teammate. I just don't understand. Every time I look on the internet, Instagram, Twitter, flip on TV, and one of those talking, people are talking shit. It's one of the most baffling things I've ever seen. I understand there are polarizing players, right? You see it with Josh Allen, you see it with Lamar, James Harden over the years, even LeBron before he won a championship. I get it. But like, once you prove you're the best player on the best team, what are we discussing? And you just consistently run circles around everyone. You are the best player in the world. Like, it's not even debatable. If people, I guess, are always going to hate. Like, I can't fathom not enjoying watching that guy play slash thinking he's overrated or something. I can't get it. I think of all the athletes I've ever watched in my entire life, that's probably the biggest head-scratching take that I consistently see. Ever.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Okay, Middlecoff mailbag. You guys know the drill. At John Middlecoff. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs to get your question answered here on the show. We will start with Colby Brown. 594 followers, by the way. Not bad, young man. Looks like a firefighter. Mailbag. Everyone acts like the Bears fleeced the Panthers with the trade last year. I agree, and it looks like a landslide, especially with how Young played last season. But I believe we still need to consider the fact they passed on C.J. Stroud. Would you take Stroud over Caleb Williams? I would take C.J. Stroud. So you're saying that the Bears passed on C.J. Stroud being number one? I think I would rather have, like, if today, would you take C.J. Stroud or Caleb Williams May 13th, 2024? You would, if you were in the NFL, you would have to take C.J. Stroud. He has a year body of work. No one can debate that, right? You would have to take C.J. Stroud. And I'm high on Caleb Williams. I think if you told me today, I could have everything the Bears got, DJ Moore, the picks, and Caleb Williams, I think you would have to take that. Because it's not Caleb for C.J. Stroud. It's Caleb plus DJ Moore, plus they sucked another year with Justin Fields, which led to Rome Odunze, right? So there's other stuff that comes along with it. I think in a vacuum, player for player, you would take C.J. Stroud today. But when you factor in the package, I would take the risk of Caleb and everything else. Still could be wrong, but I think you would have to because it was a lot. I mean, they also have their second round pick next year. So what if the Panthers suck again? What if that pick is 37? So it's Caleb, DJ Moore, a second. I mean, that's a lot, man. I think you got to. I hear what you're saying, and you're not wrong, but it's not player for player. It's the entire trade. And I think when you factor in the entire trade, kind of a no-brainer. Love the show. Appreciate you. Trent. My question for the mailbag is, as someone who worked under him for years, what do you believe separates Howie as one of the best GMs in the league? What are some of his unique philosophies he has? Well, I think one of the most powerful things you can have in that position is information, is be an information gatherer on pro guys, on college players, and on the coaching world. And I think nobody uses information better. And Howie is what I would consider an intellect. He's very bright. So his ability to make these trades on draft night, he can just operate on his feet better than, I would just say, quote unquote, some football guys. So his intellectual capacity, just in terms of maneuverability and understanding the cap, because that's where he started, is just far superior than everyone else. So he watches tape, and he's been doing it now for 20 plus years. I don't think anyone's going to, you know, consider him Bill Polian, right? Or someone like that. But he knows what's good and what's bad. And his ability to understand contracts and the value of contracts
and then work trades either on the draft or not on the draft is clearly second to none. So I remember getting there, and I was essentially like his personnel assistant and being overwhelmed because he was kind of all over the map because his brain fires like all of others do that have like ADHD here, that, and it was hard to keep up on everything. Within a year, you kind of get a hold of, you just got to be prepared for anything. But I think he's done a very, very good job over the years of hiring. I mean, they have a really good scouting staff. And he has guys, I mean, now he's had Alan Walking forever, who I consider a friend and who's really good at his job. He hired Joe Douglas away. I mean, when I was there, we had Veach, Lewis Riddick, Phil Savage. We had a lot of people. He just always has, like, and part of this is Jeffrey giving him the budget, you know, to hire high-end scouts. He works closely with those guys. He works with a contract. I would also say his capacity to follow everything is pretty impressive. It's really, really difficult. I think, you know, most people just believe that everyone in the NFL kind of knows everything. A lot of college scouts have no clue what guys in the NFL look like on tape. Like, they're not constantly watching college tape, right? Just like a lot of pro guys aren't super dialed in 24/7 to the college game. There is a small percentage, I would say, of guys that are all over it all the time. What's playing in both? And then understanding the value. Because his job isn't just to get the player right, it's to know the value of those guys. And I think Howie's elite at that. Because he looks at it from, I would say, much more of, analytical is the wrong way to put it, but an unemotional, like, this is the value on the guy, this is what we're willing to pay, this is when, and he's, the other thing he's got that you have to have in the NFL when it comes to players and he can be very cutthroat and just move off a guy and pivot on a guy. And I think as he's gotten older, when I, you know, since then, obviously he's got very close emotional ties to their core group of guys, you know, over the years, Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, because he spent so much time around those guys. And I think the one thing he's really, really good at, because the Eagles have been good at this for a long time, is knowing what high-end guys look like. And then I think a characteristic that he balances pretty well is the character stuff of valuing character. I think they do a good job of that now. I mean, look at the two guys they took. But also knowing that, like, to win in the NFL, you got to take some chances. And sometimes you got to put your balls on the table, like he did with Jalen Carter. And let's face it, like, some of the GMs in the league, which I don't blame them. Like, I don't blame Atlanta or Detroit. Like, it was pretty risky. But maybe Atlanta would have benefited from taking him over Bijan Robinson. But they didn't do it. You know, and Howie's team was much more equipped to handle him because of the Georgia guys. I also think he'll change. You know, he's smart people change, right? Like, philosophically, when it comes to business, you have a belief, and then the world changes, and you got to pivot. If you don't, you're going to get lapped. And you're going to be one of those people in 5 or 10 years complaining about it. I've always thought, like, my moral compass and what I believe in, like, when it comes to society, honestly hasn't really changed in 30 years. Like, how to treat people, how to act, when it comes to dealing with older people, when it comes to dealing with people professionally. Like, I've kind of been taught that by my parents since I was, I don't know, 10, 15 years old. But when it comes to the way I look at money and the industry I'm in, constantly changes and it constantly adapts. And I think anyone professionally has to be willing to do that. And I think no one is better than pivoting when they have to pivot than Howie. Now, he's intense. He's on. And he'd be the first to tell you that all the time. Like, he is not some guy chilling with his feet up fucking around. Like, it's an intense environment, which is very, I would say, symbolic of the city he's in. It's not an easy place to work. Even when they're, I would say even more so when they're having success. He's an intense guy. And it was an incredible experience for me just to see something that I never would have got to see in terms of being around someone who is, I would say, is driven, intellectually driven, and thinks just kind of differently than everyone else. But also, it's football. So, I mean, how different can you be? Like, everyone wants good players. But there's no like, hey, we're cool now. We're good. Roster's good. Like the Eagles today, you look at their roster, it's pretty good. I'll promise you internally, they're not just hanging out like, we're set. Let's just kind of mail it in till summer break. Like, no, it is a high stress environment. Once I left the Eagles, it's like, fuck, I can do anything. I mean, put me in the boiler room. I'll be good to go. Where's Ben Affleck? I'm ready to rock. With NIL deals becoming the next method of recruiting players, do you think the once upon a time colleges will start to compete again for national championships or even make it into the playoffs? Think of Nebraska, who has big time money and a massive following, but hasn't had success in 20 plus years. They did go to the conference championship, Ndamukong Suh's year. Back in the 90s, Nebraska was always a top program and even received back-to-back national championships. Could NIL bring them back to obscurity? Well, I think a program like that, let's use them as an example, because obviously you did. They're in the Big Ten. So they're competing against, you could argue that Ohio State, I guess Texas, maybe A&M, but Ohio State can compete with anyone financially. I think they cut $10 million worth of checks to get the top transfer guys this offseason. So that's like the equivalent of going up against like Apple or Google. So like they have more money than you. And because of their success, they're unwilling or they're not unwilling to like, they don't even ask questions. Like, you need this guy? Let's do it. You need this coach? Let's do it. You need this player? How much does he cost? And then you get Michigan now with their most recent success. They're even going to be more aggressive. You add Oregon, who has a massive war chest of money. USC, same thing. How can you compete against them? Well, the only way, because you're not going to be able to buy players like them consistently. I know you got Riola, and reports are that you gave him millions of dollars. His dad played there. Like, if Riola's dad had played at Florida, or at Utah, or at Oregon, would he be at Nebraska? Probably not. Someone else, they would have accepted someone else's money. And I don't blame them for being aggressive with a guy just because they had a connection. But on the whole, you're not going to get that level of talent. So you need to shorten the gap with the coach. The reason Utah, these last like 5 years, has been so freaking competitive, they're not going to have the NIL money of USC, Oregon, or Washington. They're just not. But their coach is elite. So if Matt Rhule is a high-end college football coach, you can make the playoffs. And if Riola hits. If Riola hits and Rhule is everything we build him to be as a college coach, you're going to be good. I don't think you're going to be Ohio State, LSU, Bama, Georgia. What Texas is going to benefit the most from this money, Oregon. But can you be like the ninth seed and win a playoff game, which would be a massive, massive success? Hell yeah. I grew up on Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips. Those teams, those late, you know, like 95, 96 Nebraska teams. The shit. Huge Chiefs fan here. And Rashee Rice news has been a huge kick in the you-know-what to this offseason. I know you can't monitor their players 24/7. But what can teams do to try and make sure this stuff doesn't happen? Is there some kind of mentoring or advisement teams offer, especially with these young guys who become rich very quickly? These teams invest so much money, and the league as a whole, to mentor, to talk to these players. Think about the money the Chiefs have invested in guys like Mahomes and Kelce and Justin Reed and those type guys on their team that are around these type guys every day during the season, telling them how to act, what to do right, how to be a pro, what to avoid. Eventually in the real world, you can't hold everyone's hand. And once the offseason starts, because of the CBA agreement, he's free to do whatever the fuck he wants. So you don't think that the team, the players, like, they talk about this stuff nonstop. But once it's February, March, April, May, until voluntary OTAs, now, Rice can come back. I think the Chiefs told him not to come back, you know, to get his stuff in order. But like, what could they have done when he's got 7-8 buddies, they're all drunk and high, and they're renting Lamborghinis? Like, he has the funds to do that. It's a maturity thing. Now, they also know what they were getting when they drafted the guy. He had red flags coming out of college. Obviously, when he's around the team, no issues. And in college, you're around the team 11 and a half months a year. You're never out of their sight. In the pros, you're not. This is the big leagues. You're grown up with lots of money now. So you either understand the opportunity you have, or you potentially throw it away like it looks like this guy's doing. Because he has the incident where he leaves the scene, which it doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to figure out, why do you think he left the scene? Why do you think? It's not very hard to figure out. Which, for his sake, probably the, you know, in a weird way, thank God no one got injured, right thing to do, because it would have been way worse. And then this issue with hitting someone at a club, like, it does show you, when you deal with immature individuals, I hate telling, like, you shouldn't be partying, you shouldn't be this. Do whatever the hell you want to do. This is America. I've never been into telling others what to do at any point in time in my adult life. But, like, once you get in trouble with the hit-and-run situation, shouldn't you probably lay low? I'm not saying you can't hang out with some buddies. Should he be at the club? Because let's face it, once you start consistently going out after that incident, you become even more of a target. And for you to have an altercation after that situation, like, there's a line of, you know, immaturity, got some stuff to work on, and you're just a fucking moron. And you're becoming a major headache. The problem is, in pro sports, he is talented. And when your talent outweighs your problems, you figure out ways to get around it. You could argue at this point in time, his talent and his problems are starting to see eye to eye. Not like this guy's Jerry Rice or Randy Moss. Ain't Tyreek Hill. Good young player. Winning player. But those two incidents in a short period of time for a team that plans on winning the Super Bowl every year, full of high character superstars, I just think you get to a point like you just can't hold their hand. You can't mandate that they stay in Kansas City. You can't mandate it. This is a business. Like, there are unions involved. And here's the thing. Most guys can handle themselves. And listen, we're all going to make a mistake as a young person if we got a lot of money and we're drinking. Like, yeah, you're going to do some things you regret. But there's a fine line of, you know, I wish I could have the last night back and the things that he's doing. But there's only so much Andy Reid and the Chiefs can do. I'm a Bears fan living in the Carolinas, creating quite an interesting dynamic these days. When I hit up local sports bars, haven't heard you address the Fields at kick returner rumors. I still root for Fields from afar for the remainder of his career. Is there any legitimacy to the dynamic ball-carrying quarterbacks frequently serving the returner role given the newly approved kickoff formation? I talked about it yesterday on the mailbag. I saw Sean Payton discussing how explosive this new kickoff rule is going to be. Like, there are going to be fireworks. There are going to be a lot of touchdowns. And if you just think at it from a basic football standpoint, like, why do most runs not go for 50, 60, 70 yards? It's really twofold. Most running backs don't have elite high-end speed, so they can't run away from people like a Tyreek Hill. But you also have defenders on every level. And unlike a pass, where if I throw a go route, if he doesn't have safety help, it's basically a one-on-one situation. If that guy falls, if that guy misjudges his jump, whatever, it's very easy for big explosive plays to happen on pass plays. In the run game, there's a reason an 8 or 10 yard run is considered a long run. Because you have to go by two levels of the defense. You have the defensive line, the line of scrimmage, and then you have 2 to 3.5, depending on how you play the safety, linebackers. And you got to get by those guys for the defensive guys, a safety or a corner, to make the tackle. And for you to have a long, long run, you basically, now it might be to a left or a right, so you're not taking out, you know, running by the entire team, but you're running by a lot of guys. They're getting blocked, you're avoiding them. This new kickoff return, if you hit a hole, you're like, once you get past the defensive guys, you're gone. I wonder if some of these teams, you know, the guys are all lined up on the on whatever the yard line is, you know, 5 yards apart. If you wouldn't have two or three guys immediately drop back, you know, basically turn into like a safety and backpedal. So if there is a situation where the guy breaks out, because if he misses the first line of defense, if everyone's going forward, he's gone. So when that rumor about Justin Fields, it wasn't a rumor. Jalen Warren said it on Cam Hayward's podcast. Multiple time guest of this show. Cam Hayward, that is. Walter Payton, man of the year. So they brought it up. And I thought, well, it sounds a little crazy, but when you factor in Fields' skill set, elite speed in the open field, well, what if he misses that first line of defense? He'd be gone. Kicker ain't making that tackle in the open field. So I do wonder if there's a little validity to it. Now, there's the element of he's your backup quarterback. If Russell got hurt, what if he got hurt on that play? So I'm not expecting it. And isn't Cordell Patterson now on the Steelers? But that play is going to be fascinating. We're going to get legit fireworks. Was wondering if you've ever watched Australian football, AFL, before. Love to hear your take. I have not. Is that considered rugby, or is that considered football? Or is that soccer? I don't know. Yeah, I have not. Going to want to get it in the mailbag. Love the pod, especially random moments of life advice. And my question is going to be about today. I'm 23. Just graduated college in December and currently making about $40,000 a year in my lab position. I don't have any real responsibilities yet beyond rent and my pets. The job is cool and holds me over, but beyond money, I feel really no purpose in trying to move up in this field. I've started making food content recently, and I'm starting to get a bit of traction there. What's a good point to dive headfirst into the passionate work and throw the responsible moves out the window? Also bring back, share with your friends, share with your enemies. I would say you're 23 years old. So your food content, I'm just going to assume, even if you're getting traction in terms of people watching, if you're not making any money on that, it would be hard to just go all in on that immediately. Like, you do need to pay for rent. I would try to find a way with your current job to spend even more time doing what you're doing, which might entail some sacrifice. Doing it at night, doing it on the weekends, and over a 12-month period, see if you can build it up where it's like, yeah, I might be able to make some money on doing this before you just jump in. So basically treat like you have two jobs, which is a lot of time, but if you just quit your job and do this, it can be discouraging if you're not making any money, then all of a sudden you're in a position where your back's against the wall. So can you do the job you're doing if you're going through the motions and just work on your other kind of side project in your head the majority of time? And when you're at home or on the weekends or whenever your free time is, just double down on that. And then the moment that, if you're able to generate enough money where it's like, ah, I might be able to at least just survive off this, quit the other job and go all in. But now you could take, just jump into the deep end, just quit and put all your chips on the table. But you could be in a position where if you don't have any help from anybody, you can't pay rent or don't have any food. So if you just need to survive in the short term, use the job you currently have to survive and put all your effort and energy into, you know, your passion. Because I was actually at dinner with some of my girl's friends, and this one girl who just crushes it, I guess. I mean, makes hundreds of thousands of dollars at her job. She's kind of bored, doesn't even like it. But she's good at it, and she makes a lot of money. But her passion is something else. And all throughout dinner, she kept talking about what she loves to do, which she was a big foodie, and she wanted to open a restaurant, and she's just so into it. And I kind of said it, but also it's not really my place. I don't know these people. Like, why don't you just do it? And she was in a position where she had enough saved. Like, she could easily just go all in. And you get to a point, and this girl's probably in her early 30s. You start making enough money in a profession that you don't care about that much, they kind of get you with the, I don't know if it's quite golden handcuffs because she's not making millions, but she's making enough where it's hard to leave that job. And then all of a sudden, she could go another 10, 20 years and never make that plunge. And all of a sudden, the thing she loves most, she never tried. Where she's in the position now, like, you could kind of do it right now. And I just see some of these people that get too far past and never give what they really wanted to do a try. And I've been very fortunate that I just did it from the jump, right? But I didn't make any money. I made none in my 20s, enough to survive, eat. But I never made more than $50,000 before I was 30 years old. Some years wasn't even close. And the equivalent of that would probably be like 60, 70 now, you know, in bigger cities where you barely heads above water. Now, I was single, didn't have any responsibilities, but I didn't have any other options because I knew that one, I don't have the energy to do something I don't like. And I knew that really early on in life. It's probably one of my greatest qualities. When I don't have any energy to do it, I don't care how much, like, I just won't be interested and I just won't pay attention. I actually knew that from school. Like, I never paid attention in school. It bored me. So it's why my advice always is when you like something and are passionate about it, it's so much easier to work. It's what I was thinking when she was talking about how she was hesitant to make the plunge. I'm like, you don't understand. It'll be so much easier for you to work a 70, 80 hour week doing what you love because it won't feel like work. Now, eventually, I always say work, no matter how much you love it, feels like work because it just becomes part of your routine. But early on, when you have to grind the hardest, it's easier to go above and beyond for less money when you love what you're doing. And I think it gets very, very difficult for people to transition because the longer you go, maybe the more money you get, the more responsibilities you have, you get married, you have children, you buy a house, it's harder to pivot. And most people are not just like freewheeling unscared when it comes to certain things. The majority of people are hesitant. So you gotta, it's why any young person that hits me, and I've tried to respond to a lot of you guys, it's so much easier to try things and take big swings and do things that you like doing when you're young. Because if you want to make the transition as you get older, it's very, very hard to pivot. When you got two kids and you're dependent on the money and your mortgage is kind of big and you know, you got a country club membership or you got a couple car payments or whatever's going on. You want to send your kids to private school, like real life responsibility. I want to apologize for the long-winded DM. I also have two questions I would like to run by you. I've been a listener to Colin for years and I've enjoyed hearing your appearances. When I stumbled upon your podcast, I instantly fell in love. Anyway, here's my question. I'm from the Bay Area in Northern California. Grew up a Niner fan, but fell in love with Alex Smith's quarterback skills, and I followed him to the Chiefs, and I have been a Chiefs fan ever since. At first, I was excited about the Xavier Worthy pick, but after listening to various sports shows, I'm hearing he has struggled with drops. I think he broke his hand, so he played through, like, the injury. After last year's struggles with the wide receiver room of dropping balls, should we be concerned about this being an issue Worthy, or do you believe Andy will be able to fix it? I heard someone say his drop rate relative to the other receivers was actually one of the best. I would not be that worried. I think they feel pretty confident. I know for a fact, because I was texting the room after they took it. I think they like this guy a lot. And they see a similar skill set, not in Tyreek, but in Deshaun. So I would be excited. I began playing golf with my dad a few years ago. We now play golf every week together, sometimes multiple times a week if we can. Sounds like you two are living well. I recently have been struggling with making consistent good contact with my driver off the tee. I've been playing with the idea of entering a local tournament, but I won't feel confident until I get this part of my game fixed. Do you have any tips or suggestions for making constant good contact? If I knew how to make consistent good contact with the driver, I would retire from this podcast, start a YouTube channel, and be a multimillionaire. So no, I think welcome to golf. It's by far something every human being, even the pros, all have in common. Struggling off the tee. Now, luckily, with equipment, modern-day equipment, it's never been easier when you hit it well. But let's face it, we all want to swing a little harder with our driver. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're in a bush with three rattlesnakes and a tree's hanging over you. It's like, good luck getting out of there. Big fan, question. Does Tua stare down his primary target the worst you have ever seen? Surprised he doesn't have more interceptions. Well, they have pretty elite receivers. I mean, Tyreek's, one of the greatest receivers I've ever seen in my NFL watching life for 30 plus years. And Waddle's a young star. So, and their offensive coordinator's elite. I think Tua's downfall, honestly, is pretty simple. He has an average arm. He's a warm weather quarterback. He's just going to struggle in the cold. And he's not very mobile. So he's a small pocket quarterback who's not a very good athlete relative to NFL quarterbacks. He's much closer to like Jared Goff movement-wise than he is Mahomes. But Jared Goff's got him by several inches and can see over the offensive line. Like, it's kind of short. I feel like I'm a hater. Like, I like the guy. I admire him as a person. Just when it comes to paying quarterbacks top dollars, I couldn't do it. But I it's like I'm not rooting against the guy. I just think his skill set in that conference in cold weather cities, which the AFC is full of, Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Buffalo. I mean, how the fuck are you beating those teams? Hint, you're not. Okay, we'll end on this. Mailbag. The physicality comparison for the NBA and NFL is like boxing and UFC. Once a boxer gets smacked with a leg kick, they will crumble and start crying immediately because they are just not hit like that, not calloused up like that. When an NBA player gets hit-sticked in the middle of the field, they will walk out of the stadium, not even the sideline, far away from the action if they could even walk. The dumbest part about the argument is no one with a brain would argue that they don't have NFL athletes. Or if guys just quit playing basketball tomorrow, a large percentage of the league, NFL teams wouldn't work out. And there would be some NFL teams would immediately sign. If Zion Williamson just said, I'm done with the NBA, I quit, I want to play football, every team in the league would try to sign Zion. To like the equivalent of a, you know, a future practice squad, bare minimum contract. And then he would eventually have to play football. He has the athleticism and the strength and the explosion, but could he play? Tyrese Maxey. I mean, you go around the league, there are a lot. Could they play every single day in practice, let alone the games? Football, this is not basketball. You don't just play games. Like, you know what LeBron's teams? They don't practice. They just hoop. Baseball, you just show up and play it every day. The NFL is the opposite. Monday, come in for film, get a workout, get your rehab. Tuesday, off day. Wednesday, show up, team meeting, 7:45 or 8. Then to meetings, then to walkthrough, then to lunch, then to practice. Maybe you practice in the morning. These are pads. Thursday, you do it again. Friday, you do it again. Saturday, if it's on the road, show up early, breakfast, meetings. Walkthrough, plane, get there, meetings, walkthrough, meetings, night, wake up, go play. You play once a week. So I just think the mentality of basketball guys, it's impossible to even, you don't just get to show up and play like in basketball or baseball. That's not how it works. You basically practice all offseason, then all training camp to just get ready for week one. Spring training. They have like 3 days of practice and they start playing games. They basically play games for 9 months or 8 months or whatever. Basketball, same thing. Couple practices, then you start playing games and you're just off. Football's all about practice. And then, like you said, the physicality. You can say, oh, the games, it's way different than the 80s and the 70s. Well, yeah, it is. have Fred Warner hit you. Have Myles Garrett hit you. Have Jalen Ramsey tackle you in the open field. Have Jalen Carter chase you down. See how that feels. That's one play. Got 50 more. Buckle up. Yeah, just... It's not as simple as like, yeah, they can just play. It's not how football works. It's by far the most complex game. Let's face it, basketball's not that complex. Neither is baseball. Relative to football, which is all about practice, putting plays. I'm not even factoring in. Then you got to mentally and physically be able to handle it. In basketball, like, do we run pick and rolls or we run motions? Where's my screen coming? Football, there's like 7 checks at the line of scrimmage in the NFL. Could they even handle it? Some of these guys would be overwhelmed. Football guys are overwhelmed. It was an exhausting conversation. Appreciate everyone listening.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.